Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you. If you have a Bible this morning, I want to talk to you about life, not just any kind of life, but the life that Jesus gives and brings. And we're going to start over here, way over there in Genesis chapter 1. Isn't that a good place to start? Amen. And when you find Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 and 27, I know y'all been on your feet a lot this morning. I guess y'all like the old stuff. My goodness, y'all sang so much better this morning. I don't know what that is, but anyways. Let's stand to our feet as we honor God's Word, if you can. If you can't, just honor God's Word the best way you know how. Genesis 1, verse 26. Then God said, "Let us." Let me say that again. Let us. Right there is the Trinity. Right there in the beginning here. Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So, God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created, you think the writer here of Genesis, I believe that's Moses, you think he's trying to tell us something? We were created in the image of God. And then there's another verse I wanted us to look at. Look at chapter 2, verse 7. Now, y'all, that's just right down at the bottom of the page, okay? And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And hallelujah, man became a living being. Let's pray. Father, we're here today to celebrate Jesus because he is life personified. He brings not only abundant life to those of his children, but he brings eternal life forever with him. And so as we celebrate life today, Father, speak to all of our hearts about this tremendous, tremendous issue that we have. We need to be about the business of life. In your name we pray. All God's children said, amen. Please be seated. Specifically this morning, we're looking at the sixth day of creation. On the sixth day after God created the animals, he created mankind. And the making of humanity was the crowning climax of creation. I know I don't look much today, but I and you, we're the apex of God's creative work. And as a matter of fact, you remember six times the Scripture tells us, after creating something good, what did God say? It was good. God said it was good. But after God created man, humanity, God said it is very good. Very good. I just want to stop right now and tell you, there is something very, very unique and special about you. Well, let me go over here. There is something very, very special and unique about every one of you. Listen, folks, You were made by God and for God. Isn't that a great truth? I want you to listen to these verses. Don't go to them. I'll pick them out and read them for you. Listen to what the psalmist says about us. He says, "For you have made him," speaking of humanity, "a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor." Tell somebody you've been crowned. "You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet." And then Psalm 119 verse 73 says, "Your hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn your commandments." And then out of that 139th Psalm that Tara read from, listen to this fantastic verse. Psalm 139 verse 14 again. "I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well." You are awesome in many, many ways. Speaking of G's Pancake House, let's let them hear it over here. Just shout, "I'm awesome." This mess of low self-esteem and all this gobbledygook that we put up with, listen, folks, you are unique, you're special, you're made by God Himself, you were made for Him and His glory, and what a life God has given us. Now, I want to say three things quickly about this business of life that God's given to us. First of all, we've got three natures. We've got a physical nature, a mental nature, and a spiritual nature. I want to talk about all three of those this morning. First of all, we've got a physical nature. And, of course, that speaks of the making of a body. God, did you know that God formed us from about $2 worth of minerals and chemicals from the earth? We came from dust. So before we really go overboard with this awesome stuff, just remember, we were made from dust. What the writer here is picturing is that of a kind of like a potter sitting at the wheel and fashioning that clay. That's kind of the picture that he's painting here. 98% of your body, listen to this, comes from the earth. Nitrogen, hydrogen, oxygen, potassium, sodium, and iron, and many other minerals and chemicals make up your body. And they all come from the earth. Now, we see this physical making of a body in the mama's womb today. The body goes through this tremendous process after conception. And you know, I have a 34-year-old daughter and a 31-year-old daughter, and they didn't have ultrasound back in the day, okay? But they do now. And it was amazing to catch the pictures of Isaac James in his mama's womb and how God was developing him. And I thank God for ultrasound because it's helped a lot in this thing called life. And so just to watch his development in his mama's womb, and he started off so small. Did y'all know that there are 300 trillion cells in the body? 300 trillion. One drop of blood has over 5 million cells. And each cell is made up of something called cytoplasm. Say that word with me. Cytoplasm. And that's so complex and dispenses an enormous amount of information. Each cell contains the written code, the makeup of your body. We call that what? That's right. Y'all are good. You're with me. Each cell has a unique function and purpose. And when the time's right, that baby leaves his or her mama's womb and is born into this wonderful world that God's created for us. And so that's the making of a body. And then, of course, there's the maturing of a body in this physical nature that God's given to us. The body, once you're born, you know, you immediately begin to grow. And some of your kids are growing. I mean, it's like they're sprouting up overnight. I mean, Sarah and Will, what are y'all feeding those boys? I mean, they're growing by leaps and bounds. And isn't that amazing how kids, you don't see them for a couple of weeks and they're changing? They're growing, they're maturing into adults. This is another sermon for another time. But parents, that is the goal.
that they would one day leave and become great citizens as adults, right? And so, but one day, guess what? The body quits growing. Well, most of the body quits growing. What causes all these changes? Who causes all these changes? God does. We have a physical nature, and God makes our bodies, and He matures our bodies. And then let's talk for just a minute about the members of your body. Did y'all know you got 206 bones in your body? And all of them are made up of something called calcium phosphate. You didn't know you were coming to science class today. 600 muscles, joints, balls, sockets. You've got 10,000 auditory nerve fibers. 2 million optic nerve fibers. 100 billion nerve cells. And the retina in your eye has 30 million cells. Your eyes allow you to see stars 24 trillion miles away. Think about that. Your eyes will twinkle with excitement. They'll tear up and cry when you get sad. Or some of you, when you get happy. And your heart is the size of a fist. And has 4 chambers. And it pumps 1,800 gallons of blood every single day through 400 billion feet of blood vessels and capillaries all over the body. And listen to this. I ran across this. A heating and cooling system with the efficiency of your body's system would cost hundreds of thousands of dollars, as would creating a device that would pump the volume of fluid that your heart moves through your body every single day. A lens with the sensitivity and versatility of the human eye would cost millions. An electrical system as complex as your nervous system would cost multi-millions. If a device could be made that could store all the information and do all that your brain does in a day, it would require a transistorized machine the size of the UN building in New York City, a cooling system with the output of Niagara Falls, and enough electricity to light up a good-sized city, and it would cost billions of dollars. Most of what your body does cannot be duplicated, even with all the world's money and technology. When God formed you in the womb of your mother, He took a couple of dollars worth of common material and made a unique and priceless creation. Somebody say, thank you, Lord Jesus. And so that's our physical nature. But let me talk for just a minute about our mental nature. Now, I always get in trouble when I start talking about how much higher man is than animals. Because we love old dear Spot, you know. And I know some of y'all love those dogs and you love those cats and I get all that, okay? But brothers and sisters, we're superior to the animals. We are. You can train an animal, but you can't teach an animal. Oh, I can, Brother Cal. No, you can't. You can train an animal, but you can't teach an animal. You can reason, rationalize, think, feel, and memorize. Isaac, you didn't know I was going to do this. Here we go again. Our kids on Wednesday night are memorizing Bible books and verses on Sundays, and they're learning. Quote that anxiety. Some of you need this verse. Quote that anxiety verse for me in Philippians 4, 6, and 7.
Be anxious in nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, and let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, shall guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus.
Amen. And you can. And you can teach an old dog new tricks. All of you all can memorize. You can remember things. But we've got a mental nature that God gave us. Aren't you thankful for that? And so we have the ability to talk. And some of us have some tremendous vocabulary. Some of us need to get out a little bit more often, but we've got a multifaceted vocabulary. Some of y'all can talk at speeds of up to 90 miles per hour with gusts of up to 120. I mean, God gave us all this capacity and the ability to do what you're capable of. Rationality, you're capable of creativity. Animals can use tools, but an animal cannot invent and manufacture tools. Animals may even have a song, but they can't compose or create a song. You've got tremendous creative powers. You also have sensitivity. You have the ability to love, to hate, to cry, to mourn, to laugh, to show compassion. We have a mental nature. And I want to tell you all, let me just say to you, I sure do love y'all. I sure do love y'all. Y'all are the best. I mean, somebody out here in the community starts talking about Second Mile Church, I'm ready to put them up. I love y'all. And I'm so sick and tired. Well, I don't need to get off on my soapbox. But anyways, you're the family of God. You're the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're His bride. And God is using us to reach our community and our state and our nation and the world for God's glory. We're trying to get the gospel to people. Amen? And so God's given us this physical nature and this mental nature to do what He wants us to do. But here's what I really want to get to this morning. Look at chapter 2 and verse 27 one more time. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed. That's the that word spirit, wind, or breath. That's the Old Testament word ruach, or the New Testament word pneuma. Breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. Are you thankful today that God breathed? In the Scriptures, every time God breathes, I've told you all this before, every time God breathes, something or someone springs to life. We have a spiritual nature. And I believe this more than anything else separates us from the rest of God's creation. God is spirit, and you have a spirit. You've got a spiritual nature. You're made in the likeness of God. Now, we're not God, but we're made in His likeness because we have a spirit. Even as God is spirit, we have a spirit. And let me say several things about this spiritual nature. You have personality. Look at the one you're sitting beside. They've got a personality. They do. You know, you've got a mind to think. You've got emotions to feel and a will to act. We can do things, decide things, accomplish things. You've got a personality. And some of y'all have got more personality than others. But we're all different. Aren't you glad for that? I'm so thankful that we're not all the same. We're different. We're diverse. And that's what makes us good. I mean, that's what's good about life is that we're all different. We all make up, I mean, the body of Christ, the spiritual side of humanity is so awesome. You've been given the spirit of, you know, and having said that, let me say this. You know, well, let me jump on that in just a minute. You've got personality, you've got morality. And we have the ability to choose between what's right and what's wrong. Now, we're wrestling with a lot of moral problems of today. I mean, we're trying to figure out what's right and what's wrong. Don't we need to know what's right today? Well, the Word of God will tell you what is right. We looked at that Wednesday night. The Word of God will tell you what's not right. The Word of God will tell you how to get right, and the Word of God will show you how to stay right. We're living in a day when we're not sure what's right and wrong. And I just want to go on record as your pastor today and just say, I'm going to stand for life. Somebody needs to speak for these innocent children. They don't have a voice. You read your Bible. Anytime a nation or a group of people or a family is getting rid of the children, you know what happens to that nation? They're not around real. And I don't know why in the world. After we have aborted over 60 million babies. I said 60 million. Because we're not ready for the baby and all these other issues. Inconvenient. 60 million. I don't really know why God has stayed His hand of judgment against us. I want to tell you, we better get this issue right. We better get it right, real quick. And having said that, let me say this. If you are a mama and you're here today, and you have aborted a child, can I just say to you, the way I read Scripture, our God is a God of grace. And I believe that baby is with Jesus today. You remember what King David said when he lost that child? He said, well, my boy will never come to me, but one day I'm going to go to him. And so I believe God takes care of those unborn babies there with him. And I want to tell you, the blood of Jesus has the power to cleanse you from all sin. That's what 1 John 1:9 said. You can be forgiven of whatever it is. And especially that sin. And so I don't want to leave you bleeding, you ladies, or you guys that allowed it to happen. Because every church has folks where this has been committed. Our God is a God of life. But let me say this. While abortion is our national nightmare and our greatest disgrace, there are other moral issues. You know, I think what a lot of Christians are today are not pro. They think they're pro-life, but really what they are is anti-abortion. We got a lot of other issues that are life issues. I mean, sex trafficking, child abuse, spousal abuse. I mean, the Me Too movement. You want to know why it's gaining such traction? Because it's happened so many times in and around churches even. That's what it means to be pro-life. We're champions of life. And I thank God for the foster care and the adoptions. A lot of our Baptist brothers and sisters are adopting children. I was looking on the internet this morning. There's 680,000 children right now that need to be adopted. I love old Pastor Larry Robertson. Is it four children that he's fostering? You know? And I think he's making plans to adopt those kids. You ought to pray about that. We all need to pray about that. Because, you see, that's what it means to be pro-life. Not just anti-abortion. Folks need to figure out that we're not against everything. We're for more than we're against. And we're for life. Euthanasia. All these other issues that we talk about. We are for life. We have morality. We got personality. And we've got spirituality. I think this is really what sets us apart from everything else. You have the ability to relate to God. Y'all didn't get that. Let me say it one more time. You have the ability to relate to God. You have a spirit. Now, this is what separates us from the animals. Now, have you ever seen a cat repent? I know some cats that need to repent. You ever seen a dog pray? Don't answer that. You ever seen a hippopotamus worship? You see, we've got that capacity. It has been ingrained in us to relate somehow to our Creator. You have an empty, God-shaped void or vacuum in your spirit that can only be filled by a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. That's what separates us. God has made us like Him. And then you have the last one is you have immortality. Scripture says that you were made for eternity. Now, I did a funeral yesterday in the mud and in a driving rainstorm in Hendersonville, and I was reminded again. Buried a sister-in-law of a good friend, and we buried this lady right next to my friend's husband. They were brothers and sisters, and after they put the dirt over the grave and everything, and I stayed there for the entire committal service and all, I went and looked at the plaque on the ground, and it said the name of my friend's husband, and they're going to get a plaque for her sister-in-law who passed away, but my friend's name was right next to her husband's name. And she's standing right back here. And you know, I was reminded again, right then, while this old body of ours, they're winding down, your soul is going to live forever. Your spirit is going to go somewhere when your body goes to the back to the ground, to the dust from where you were created. You were made for eternity. 100 years from now, every one of us is going to be somewhere. And as awesome as you are, we've got one huge problem. And it's the problem of sin. Sin has marred and maimed and messed up God's creation. We're so much less than what God intended for us to be because of sin. We're fallen creatures. I believe the Bible teaches we're born into sin. And then when we get old enough, we prove that we're sinners because we choose to sin. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so that sin causes separation between a holy and righteous God and humanity. But here's the good news. God can restore you. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. You see, while we were dead in trespasses and sin, what dead folks need is life. And only God can give new life. You can be made whole again, restored. God's original masterpiece. You see, folks, if you don't get anything else today, you remember this. The real truth is that God is awesome. God is the one who's awesome. He is the giver of life. Would you bow your heads with me? There's one thing we always do here at Second Mile Church. We give folks an opportunity to respond to God's truth and have life. Maybe you're here today and you've got life. Not just physical life, but spiritual life. You have the Lord Jesus, but you've got some family members. You got some friends who really need life. And you just really want to bring those burdens to the Lord today? Well, this is the time to do that. If you're not sure about where you're going to spend eternity, when you check out, when you leave here, you're going to one of two places. My friend, let me just tell you, Jesus went to your hell for you. My Bible tells me if I'd be willing to turn from my sin and turn to Christ, Jesus said, come and follow me, if you'd be willing to follow him the rest of your life, for whatever days you've got left, just giving him everything that you are and everything that he is. That's what the word repentance means. My Bible says he will receive you and give you life today. You should have received a card when you came in. There's several boxes there at the bottom. If you need prayer, if you need to talk to a pastor or minister, you're not sure about yourself, you check those boxes and turn that in these white buckets back here by the front door. Or you can come forward right now. I've got some stuff I want to give to you. If you're not sure about your life, we want to make sure today and pray with you, give you some counsel. But you need to get up out of your seat and come forward to do that if you want to go that direction. But we want you to have life here at Second Mile Church. Oh God, right now is the most precious, powerful, important time of this service. Would you change lives? Would you give life here today? Maybe there's other issues, Lord, we're struggling with. Oh God, you're the solution in all things. Help us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.